Henda, you are now entering a space for black history. A voice for the voiceless. The Harbinger on the Line Revolution. A marriage of chillers and platform that will last longer than it girl's marriage. Welcome to Black Excellence. Do not fear, for if you do, just sip on some grandeur. And if you still do, ask ourselves, what would Mapapunzi do? Pagama chila, itlesha lefiki. Ungoyigi, even if when they ask you, how sabini, do not fear. For if you do, just say, anistivi. This is the medicine of censorship. This is the pill. Which one is that one? Podcast and chill.
No, honestly speaking, I feel like I took that episode the hardest. The one we shot.
The one I just did now.
Yeah, with, by the way, we just shot an episode with the lady who stabbed Flubba. And I feel like I took it the hardest.
Why?
Because I can relate to what you're saying.
Relate?
Yeah.
Like, how?
Yay.
100%.
What did you do?
Have you stabbed
someone? No, man, come on. I haven't stabbed anyone. But I remember there's an ex of mine, we were fighting, we were drunk, like the lady said, right? Mm-hmm. We were drunk, and the lady, the girl I was dating at the time, had a knife.
Huh.
But nothing ever happened. Mm. Like, she had a knife, but we were arguing and whatever, but no one got stabbed or anything.
She was just holding it like...
Yes.
Test me.
You understand what I'm saying? Mm. But after hearing
James, speak, bro, speak. Like Tibla, speak, bro. Like, guys, speak. Aya, why can't you speak, bro? Just speak, man. Yo, so move your mic. Because you're off mic, the mic doesn't pick you up. I hear you, they don't hear you, they don't hear you. Just speak, man. And you're just showing your mic, man.
Cut it in my
cool, man.
Steakum, baby, steakum.
Put it in your mouth.
Hey. Seven, just talk about cool, man. Bro, just speak. Shapaka mic, you know. It's fine. It's fine, man. Hey, Tibla. Oh, you couldn't wait like that for hitting on my woman. Eat the mic, eat your mic. I'm gonna see a relationship here. Thanks to me, nigga. I'm the best man at y'all's wedding. I'm gonna see a relationship. Oh. Yeah, bro. No, but I hear you.
You understand? So I could have been stabbed, or she could have been stabbed, vice versa. You know what I mean?
Yeah, unintentionally so.
Yes. But you saying you don't believe what you're saying?
No. But as I said, that it could happen to anyone. A reason. To me, she seems like she's in a good place, number one, because she genuinely gets that it's a mistake. Like, if I kill someone driving, or something, accident, it's a pure accident, I wasn't being negligent, I didn't skip a red light, I'm sober, and I genuinely know it's going to be tough, of course, but there'll come a point where I realize that I genuinely couldn't have done anything to prevent it. Mm. And I was not at fault. And she seems like she's at that place right now. Mm. That's why, to me, I get I can empathize with her, because definitely, bro, it can happen to anyone. You can punch someone. Let's say you're fighting, or if you're into that kind of stuff.
Or you push someone.
And they land on a broken bottle. They die. Mm. Just like that.
What if it's actually she's more in a painful place to be? Because now she has this reminder of that she actually ended someone's life. Is it a good place or a painful place?
We should have actually asked her about counseling.
She said she did some counseling.
Yeah, you see.
In prison.
So you can, so that helps.
Trauma counseling.
Yes, okay, great. I missed that. Oh. I don't remember it. Oh. But that helps, Things like that, So I don't think...
What did you think, Aya, bro? What did you think? Because you and your woman are fighting right now. That's why we couldn't call her last.
We're
you could have pushed her.
We're in Cape Town.
Pushed her where?
I get this from Kylie.
At the balcony.
Wait.
It's I.
At a balcony.
Hold on.
I got pushed to another woman.
Jesus. How do I save this?
You don't say
you must go out the country
right
like Zai Zai.
Ay, man.
What did you say? I heard Zai Zai. What did you say? Mzuza is high, man.
I think it was a genuine mistake, man. I feel like she's giving me that energy. It was
a
genuine
mistake.
Because couples do fight, and it does get physical.
With some, yes.
With some. Some, it's just verbal, and then we go to sleep. I think it's genuine. She made a mistake.
No?
Yeah, and she's remorseful of it.
And if I check, what did you think?
I don't know anything. I've never been in a verbal or physical fight with my person, so no.
Oh, what do you? How do you guys fight? You DM each other.
Oh. I mean, TikTok.
They do a TikTok challenge.
Poke one another on Facebook.
Very much.
Poke one another on Facebook. Poke you. Poke. That's Facebook instead of poke. What do you find it? Poke on Facebook.
Oh, you know how they fight. They delete the pictures on Instagram.
Oh, no, yes. That's how you
do it. We fight on Facebook.
You delete all the pictures.
And the status is the stories. But yeah, that's how fight goes.
Sorry, I didn't hear you. What did you say?
We fight on statuses and stories. Mm. I mean,
what the fuck?
Yeah,
you're
so childish,
man.
Anyway, now what a minute, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Quack, quack. Podcast and chill. Maligan is here. Aya is here. Fat Check is here. Saul Penduga is here. Ghost Lady is here. And we are on the road to 800,000.
Fucking, that's nuts, bro. That is, I zone off or out, and now I'm hearing 8,000. I'm like, fuck, 800,000. That's crazy, bro.
Yeah, man, you got to subscribe right now, man. We've been on 700,000 for a while now. It feels like...
For real? Yeah. I'm not counting, that's why.
Yeah,
I feel like it was yesterday.
No, we've been on 700,000 for a while. I think we need Jub Jub back.
Hi, boy.
Jub back. Need a spike.
No more prison base.
That's him. Zoga, that's you mean.
No more prison.
Wow.
Anyway, do you guys know the top 10 YouTube channels in SA based on subscribers in the country?
Oh, yeah. I could name maybe one or two.
Okay, tell me what's number one.
Number one, isn't it like... a news thing. Isn't it like 702 or something?
Ghost Lady?
Isn't it a Soapy?
It's a Prime Media thing, though.
Nope.
I think it's Soapy.
It's nice to see.
Number one is Super Sport.
Oh. Yeah. I was on the right
with 3.8 million subscribers.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
And then we've got Die Antwoord at number two with 3.27 million
That is crazy. Die Antwoord. Whoa.
And then we've got Disney Channel Africa, Noel Dazel. I don't know
Disney
who that is.
Disney Channel Africa.
Open Mic Productions at number five with 2.4 million.
Makes sense. I mean, Jerusalem over here, guys, you know.
Boomerang, Cartoon Africa. SABC News is at number nine with 1.6 million.
Oh.
And then there's Mo Casper. I don't know who that is. I think it's a YouTuber.
Okay.
1.6. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
1.6.
Shout out to him.
And then who else is there? ENCA is at number 14.
News. Yeah.
Did you know that, Aya?
Yeah. So he's the one that
he doesn't care about them anymore. He's divorced them, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's at one. They're at 1.2 million. Hmm. The Kiffners, 1.7 million. DJ Arch Jr.
Whoa, oh, the kid.
Has more subscribers than us.
Beautiful.
Congratulations to Nasty C. He just hit 1 million.
Okay. Hey, shout out. Hey, yeah. Nasty C. Yeah, took big things there.
Mzazi Magic Officials at 878.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got Offense Moase Films, 834,000.
This is the funniest skits ever.
Yeah.
He deserves 10 times those followers.
Yeah, and then we've got ETV at 788, News 24, 769. La Cizwe is at 763.
Tambuza. Shout out to La Cizwe, man.
I'll tell you a story. I remember I don't know if you were part of the episode, Ghost Lady, but there was an episode I did, ne?
Uh-huh.
We were at, I think, 60,000 subscribers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And La Cizo was at 600,000.
Whoa.
And I was telling Len or Ghost Lady, I can't remember. Mm-hmm. And I was like, there's no way we'll get to 600,000.
Mm-hmm.
So
real,
it seemed far fetched, bro. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It seemed far fetched.
Yeah.
But right now, look at this. 4 years later, right? He's at number 32 with 763.
Jeez.
We are at number 34 with 755.
Oh. We're right there. On his ass. Catching up. We're catching up. We're catching up.
Catch us if you can.
Catch us. Nah, that's dope, man.
Bro, I never, you know, like right now, like Super Sport is on 3.81 million. That seems far-fetched for us, right?
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Do you get what I'm saying? It was like that.
You know, but Mandela's got that quote. It always seems what to our till it's done. Impossible till it's done. Yeah, yeah. It's always like that, I guess, you know?
Mm. Mm.
First Mandela quote on Podcast and Chill. Hey. I didn't even want to say it. You know, they all sound corny, but they're so factual. That one is very factual.
Yeah,
it's true,
man.
Bro.
There's
man.
Even a documentary, guys.
Oh, yeah.
Hey,
yes. I'm so excited about that. I'm so excited.
It started already. So it's a four-part series.
The documentary?
Yes.
Yeah, it started on the 2nd of October.
On Doctor.
Yeah,
yo, bro.
It's on Mzansi Magic.
Mzansi Magic, DSTV channel 161, every single Sunday at 8 p.m.
Yeah.
Wow. What's it called?
Dr. Kumalo documentary.
Yeah, I just want to know those, you know, those nuggets, like Doctor, bro, like, because I was with Lucas Khadebe on the Kai breakfast, and he was talking about how he, and this is Lucas Khadebe, when he got to Chiefs, saw Doctor, and was like, yo, there he is.
Mm.
Like, this guy was this unattainable, iconic figure. There he is. And that's a Lucas Khadebe. Can you imagine for the rest of us, you know,
how
just
many
to watch.
How did Doctor influence?
Dude!
Age restriction, 16V.
16V.
Bro, Doctor.
How?
Number one, SKL, guys.
SKL, chewing
number
gum.
One, SKL.
Hey, do you know my mom went to the same school as Doctor?
Your mom went to the same school as Doctor.
Yeah, he hit on her.
Oh, I call her.
Can you mom?
Call your mother.
They went to the same school. I kid you not, guys.
Your mom is Venda. Doctor is Zulu. How?
Call
in Soweto.
Call your mom now.
Let me call
in Soweto.
Yeah, man. I don't know where. But
your mom went to school in Padzima, dog.
Doctor was in Padzima. No, she went to a private school. What's wrong with you, man?
Your mom went to school in a private school. How could your mom say no to Doctor? Number one. Doctor was a pretty boy. Charmer.
My mom was a flame, dog.
Ooh.
While he looks for the mom's number, Doctor inspired a lot of things.
Dr. Kumalo Untold. That's the documentary.
It's called?
Dr. Kumalo Untold.
Ah,
yeah, four parts.
But Doctor, kids would put a plaster here to cover up as if they're covering up. I'm a tweak, right? And there's nothing. And you'd cover up. Do SKL or Skindi Sako. Do it like this. Remember Skindi?
Tula, son. And I'm a vermin. Ma. Move on. Is it not true that you dated or Dr. Kumalo asked you out?
Huh.
What happened?
We just went to college.
You went to sleep?
We went to college. We went to a training college together.
Yeah.
Oh, ma'am, Akakshelang.
No, we were just friends. You know, he never even proposed.
Oh,
you
were just friends?
Yeah, at the college. I met him at the college. We were doing the same course.
Mm.
Hey, what was he studying, Dr. Kumal?
What was he doing? What?
Studying.
But he has a teaching course, JPTV.
Teaching?
Yay.
Nice.
Yeah.
Doctor. Mm.
But he didn't work on you, ne?
No.
Oh.
Hey, so my dad could have been Dr. Kumalo.
I had you already by that time.
So you didn't get to call him Uncle Doctor.
Your stepdad, your stepfather could have been Doctor.
No, he never. Me, where did you get all that?
No, I just thought you proposed. I mean, you're beautiful. I mean, you're a snack.
No, we were just friends. We used to have lunch together with his friends and my girlfriend. We were about eight people together.
Did you have feelings for him? Because hey, he was a pretty boy, Dr. Kumalo. You know, he was a pretty guy, handsome.
when I saw him for the first time, I was excited, just like anybody seeing somebody who's famous.
Oh, but he was a superstar.
But the more I get closer to him when we meet him during lunch, then I just realized, oh no, these people are just normal like us. And then, yeah.
All right, 16V. Sharp, sharp.
Iconic, bro. Dr. Kumalo is, like, to me, there's just other people, like, it's Mandela.
I hope you're not recording me.
Ah, we're recording. You know you're part of the show now. You must just come, actually, you know. You must just come grab a mic.
She can sit there in the middle. Yeah. What happened?
Sharp, ma, I love you, ne?
Where are you?
We're recording, ma.
Oh, okay. Okay. Right. I thought you're off your way to. Is it Bloemfontein thing?
No, not yet. And I need to warn you. I'll send you a warning during the week. HR said I must send you a warning.
Warning?
What?
A warning?
He's lying. What did she do?
Yeah, oh, you're sending her first
kidding.
Warning?
Yeah, I'm just kidding. Wow. I'm just kidding. Anyway, yeah,
you see, man. You see? Yeah, well, they went to the same college. Yeah. Come on, man. Yeah. You know, he didn't hit on your mom. Yeah. He was a superstar by then, dog. He was a superstar by then. Hey, man, I can't wait to watch that docu, bro. I really can't.
Yeah, man. Make sure you check it out on DSTV channel 161 every single Sunday at 8 p.m. What's the series called?
It's Dr. Kumalo Untold. It's a four-part series.
Oh, all right. Yeah. So today we're going to cut the show a bit short because what we got coming up is crazy, right?
That's
so,
a crazy... we got like a glimpse of a female prison. What happened, you know, Flabba's last moments. The relationship. Mm. It's, yeah, bro, it was crazy, bro. That was really intriguing.
Before we get into the friend of the show segment with that lady, what do you want to say, Ghost Lady?
Just some stories.
Okay.
Yeah. Did you read about, so on the stories, there was Toya Delezi, the tweet.
Yeah.
That she released, obviously, just saying that, you know, she's based in the UK.
Yes.
And she then, on that tweet, said... that Queen Elizabeth II, she accused basically her that she's a witch and is part of a cult. So she's a cult priestess. Did you see that tweet?
Okay, I saw that tweet. I think what happened was, so there's a video, right?
I'm going to read the tweets, but just go on.
Just try. I think she quoted something. There's another video, that a tweet that she quoted. Now, that tweet that she quoted had a video at the funeral proceedings. There's a like a wand. You know, like a wand?
Yes.
Yeah, that they broke. Right, or something, but there was some custom that was practiced there that looked like some fairy tale, whatever kind of stuff.
Yeah,
and then she was then tweeting that and responding to that to say that these people pretty much practice in things of the other realm, spiritual realm and stuff. You know what I mean? Obviously, she would then say, I don't know, that tweet that she's a priestess of a witchcraft, whatever, of a higher realm or whatever. But she was just saying that white people have kept us away from practicing our spiritual stuff because they know the power in that stuff. You know what I mean?
To look bad.
Yes. And to so to us, they'll demonize it like, so if you're a Christian, it goes against Ukhaba. If you're a Christian, it goes against your traditions and customs. You know what I mean? Meanwhile, back at the ranch, they doing it, they practicing it. Do you get me? Yeah, but I'm not sure. They really are into these things, you know?
Yeah, bro. I mean, if you read and you do research, African customs and culture has been practiced more outside of Africa right now, more than ever before.
More than our own
African people.
I remember bumping into, I was having a breakfast with the team, and there were two Sangomas, white, Hyde Park. Like, what do you mean, aye? What do you mean, aye, bro? We even asked them to come on the show, the breakfast show, literally. Our producer went to them. Babuzani, you are asking at you, like, cloth or corner, Babuzan.
I don't know the name.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like, oh, one had the red one, oh, one had the blue and white one, oh, one the red and white one, right? But even if those who don't practice, particularly like isiNtu, but they've got their things. By a pasha, they talk to the spiritual guys in Nyanyasabo, and then they're gonna call them what?
Angels.
Angels. There's a term. What's the phrase? Ini? Guardian angels. What? Why do these things?
Which are ancestors at the end of the day.
Yes, exactly. And they're ancestors.
What are the tweets, Kuzlani?
Okay, so the tweet was, when African nations practice their spirituality, it is ridiculed, and we are told it's evil, yet it seems the whole world understands the power of the esoteric. Yeah. Esoteric. They just don't want spiritual. Africans to use it.
Mm-hmm.
Leading the church and the druids all in one as madness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at what's happening now with Pogba and his brother, Pogba apparently, allegedly, uspan say muti, but in their terms, they call it black magic.
Mm.
They call it the dark.
The dark. Well, yeah, we also have that though, right? I mean, there's uktagata, like bewitching people, and you can still, you know, dabble into spirituality to protect yourself and for the light and guidance, and we all do that simply by just praying.
Yeah, but they
lighting
don't,
up a candle and
praying.
They don't attack,
they don't distinguish. Okay, cool. This is ubutagati. This is whatever. So if you, as a black person, go to a sangoma, it's called black magic.
Yeah, it's a sasu.
Yeah.
Well, you're just going there, ukpeinto zako, or sometimes just to protect yourself, you know, because. I mean, what was happening when you had a club in Katlehong?
I don't know, bro.
Oh.
Ah, yes. You said it.
You told us.
You said it.
You told us.
When I had a club in Katlehong, there'd be guys.
From the neighboring clubs.
Yeah, there would be a neighboring club that would come and they'll just sprinkle shit in front of the door. I was young, bro. I was 21. I didn't know what this whole thing was.
Yeah, you're reality shock and you're not familiar with the whole.
But every time they came and sprinkled that shit, no one came to the club for 4 weeks. No matter who we had.
You bring black coffee. Okay, I was there with the black. It was pale. But I know what you mean. You know what I mean? And that's the dark part of it, right? So now if you go to Isangoma or you go to Padzima there in Venda to find a guy who can help you strengthen your place, your place of business or your home, that's not the darkness. That's not dark.
But they label it as one thing.
That's not dark.
They label it as one thing.
Yeah, that's what now Toya gets to, that they use the church to label all of that as ubuthakathi, right? To say, ningahlaba amadlozi because, then they twist the Bible to say, hey, what? I call them some amakos in the Bible when they call your Abrahams, your what, your what. Those are all ancestors. Who do you think Mary is? She's an ancestor. The whole Catholicism, they pray to Mary. She wasn't a god. You know, she was human. And of course, Immaculate
Abraham,
Conception.
Father of many nations.
Abraham, father of many nations. That's an ancestor. You know what I mean? So people will say, no, let's not. And then go and mention all those people. Those are all ancestors. And I got to be, but, you know, not mine. I mean, I pray to God. But when I mention ancestors, and when I mention my ancestors, when I mention those and those and those. So that's what Toy is exactly saying. Then they use the Bible and everything and religion to sway us away from our beliefs and our things, yet not the queen. It's proven.
Man, it's
once at a funeral.
It's so crazy how as white and black people is so different, man. It's crazy, man. I went out last night. I took my woman out for dinner, right? So I wanted.
I could tell. Beautiful. Beautiful.
How could you tell?
No, remember you left me a voice note, and I could tell you.
So I wanted to go to a quiet place where I don't have to take pictures or anything, and nobody knows me. So we found, because I'm in Centurion, there's a lot of Bura places there.
Oh, yeah.
So we found a Bura place. We're literally like 5 minutes away from a Bura place. So, you know, it's those wooden places where they have benches and then the chairs. It's those ones where we have in the funeral at the back there. You know, the people that you don't want at the funeral, the black chairs.
There's people.
So you felt at home.
Try to do that one.
So we get there. I'm like, baby, this is perfect. No one's going to recognize me. It's so funny, bro. As soon as I got out the car, the only black nigga in that club was like, hey, Maxi!
Yeah,
wow.
Bro. Yeah, dog.
Wow.
Yeah. So I took a picture of him. Welele. Took a picture of him, but luckily he was the only black guy there. So we chilled and we were having dinner, whatever.
Yeah.
So in and amongst the dinner, bro, there's this white guy across us. He starts choking, bro.
Choking?
On the food.
Ooh. Oh, snap.
Like he was about to die.
Ooh. Oh, snap.
Right? And we're looking at this. And they were so chilled, bro. Like, you know how white people are quiet? Even as about their, as they're about to die, they're even quiet.
Hi,
like
bro.
They were in quiet.
So he wasn't panicking. He wasn't slapping someone like, yo, save me. He was
nothing,
dying.
Dog.
Dignified.
Yes.
Dying with posture there.
So one guy, one white guy from here went to that table and the wife ran to the bar to call for some help. Mm-mm. That guy went softly.
No, no one's screaming. No one calling on ancestors.
No one poured alcohol on
Nothing. And then
no one came like, out. Hey, who's born inside?
Nothing, dog.
Whoa.
And then everybody just continued
eating.
Oh. Bro.
And you're like,
my wife the whole time was like, yo, where are you? Yo! The table is there, we are here. We're like, yo! Yo, you can't breathe! Yo! These niggas are calm, bro. Chill, they're eating. And the way they do it, but not even like, hey,
what? What? And he survived.
And he survived.
Okay,
bro.
Black people, we can do better.
And he continued eating himself.
The same meal.
I almost killed him.
I'm like, baby, do you know if this? I've been to a lot of parties, you, man. If this happened in a Chisanyam or like Konka, do you know?
Pity the part, yeah. I'm shy. As if like you were fucking playing, like it's deliberate, I'm gonna choke on this boat. I'm gonna show these motherfuckers, like. love my people, man.
Oh, man, it was wild, bro.
Love
it
my
was
people.
Wild.
Jeez, bro.
Yeah.
Reality shock, yeah?
Yes, but it just shows you, you know? At any time, you can go, bro.
Yeah, true, dog. Hey. When time comes, you don't never know, eh?
Yeah.
It's wild.
But how do you tell your kids I died from a steak? I choked on a steak.
Oh, you're dead. Chip. You can't tell them.
Yeah, you can't tell them. It's over. It's over. It's just
someone's going to have to tell them. You're dead, dude. But normally, especially black people, they'll find other ways. They won't tell you the truth. They'll find other ways. Ah, dead, whatever.
Oh, high blood pressure.
One day, someone, you're going to piss off someone during an argument. Like, yeah, blah, 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 blah. And you think you're dead, died in a car accident. Like, oh, blah, 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 blah. You know, someone is bound to tell you, like, during the middle of a fight, randomly. You know how that shit comes out, right? Like, how some people find out that the old man next door is a father. After so many years, because the family keeps it a secret and whatever. Like, ah, for a second, blah, 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 blah You don't want to just come out in an argument just like that. That's the hood, bro.
How you
gossip, Kyle? Ooh, and that comes out, eh?
Like siblings fight, eh?
Yeah, yeah, like that's when siblings really, really, really fight. Someone's going to say, oh, yeah, now it's a Kyle. Like, can't you see you're the only light skinned one here or the only dark skinned one in a fight? For real. It does happen. Like, it does. When emotions are heightened and the fight is crazy, yeah?
Yeah, man.
Tell us straight. Find out.
Let's get straight into the interview, man. Here we are. Here is the friend of the show. Anything else you want to say?
Hey, anything else? Go say that. I know Uzana's close pet. Nothing else. Fuck the press.
Fuck the press. It's Valley Show.
What's Valley Show, ne?
Yeah.
Fuck the press. It's Valley Show.
I thought you had some stuff. It felt short, but obviously.
What did you think of Kanye West with the White Lives Matter?
Nah, guys.
White Lives Matter when we're making money.
When he's seen by white people and is in bed with white people, yes, now they matter. But I mean, didn't he say George Bush doesn't care about black people? Remember that Kanye? So I don't know, man. I really can't look deep into Kanye's things. Plus his diagnosis is not well. And it's not an excuse, though, to keep shitting and pissing on black people. It's just fucked up. It's disappointing.
But wasn't he just stating the obvious?
The obvious is that all lives matter on earth as God has created us, right? Equally. But on earth, other people and other races have dominance over other races historically because of wars and whatever. And so we're not equal anymore. So black lives matter based on that alone, that inequality alone. Yes, in the ideal world, all lives matter. But we don't live in an ideal world, right? Mm. We live in a world where till today, banks charge more interest rates on a black guy.
Black person.
At work, a black guy with a degree, white guy with a degree, black guy gets paid less. So we live in that world, and in that world, fucking black lives matter. You know, I see being a white lives matter because they're not the one who are disenfranchised.
But are we not desensitized by black lives matter? So that now when he has the T-shirt, white lives matter, now we're triggered. And it reminds us, black lives do matter.
Hi, I'm lost. Uti. I'm lost. Hey, I'm lost.
No, Kanye West strikes me as one of those guys, like, if he was taking part in Lord of the Rings, Rings of Lord, ne?
No, Rings of Power.
Rings of Lord Power. Lord of the Rings, Rings of Power.
Rings of Power. Yeah.
He'd be like, why are the dwarves black?
Like there were no black doves.
Yeah, he strikes me like that guy.
Oh, why are the orcs black? Hey, why? Hey, Kanye, man, he's a problem, bro.
Who you at? What episode you had on Rings of Power?
Oh, man, I'm on the episode where those niggas tried to run away from the orcs. So the orcs have captured people, colonized them. They're trying to run away.
Yeah.
And then it doesn't work out.
Yeah. Spoiler alert, by the way, for anyone who hasn't watched it.
Spoiler alert. So, and I'm also at the part where, you guys, I think I heard. That guy who came from the sky via a shooting star.
Yes, a meteor.
That big guy.
And then the kids.
The Hoffords.
The Hofford kids discover him
and keep him. But later on, the Hoffords discover him and find him and like, you brought a traitor here. What's that guy? Like, is he special? What's up with that guy?
He's coming. Keep on
watching. Because I'm at the now where they're like, you know what? We're struggling to travel. He's big. Let's use him. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And then thingy is in Numenor. The lady, the main thingy. What's her name?
Galadriel.
She's in Numenor.
Yes.
But there was a prophecy. And one of the ladies, I think the queen or whatever, goes to, they don't show the face of the person. And she says, the prophecy is happening, the elf has come. Because Numenor is this island where technologically they're so advanced.
100%.
Right? And there's this history with the elves and whatnot. And then Galadriel is there now. Right? And then Galadriel, the guy she met in the ocean, because remember, Galadriel escaped.
Yes.
Because they were, that not banished her, but because she was a bit of a rebel, but she was a hero, and they said, you're going to the promised land, the freedom.
And she said, nah.
She said, nah, and jumped off the ship. So that guy she met there, now they plotting to leave Numenor and go back to the cause of fighting the evil, etc. So that's where I'm at.
Yeah, it's gripping. You catched up.
Gripping. So that's where I'm at, bro. It's fucking crazy. I can't wait for the next episode.
Yeah, man. Make sure you check it out on Prime Video. Every single episode comes out on Fridays. Yep. Yes. All right, cool, man. So we're about to check out the interview I've been telling
Cindy
you about.
See you, Emmanuele, Flabbers killer / ex-wife. Mm. Yeah.
All right, cool. Let's get straight into it.
Boom. All right, ex-girlfriend. Hey,
ex-girlfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Boom. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome our friend of the show, Saul. Who is it?
Because he can't say the surname. Sindisiwe Mangale.
Yeah, boy. Welcome, welcome, welcome. How are you doing, mama?
I'm good. How are you?
Hey, man, you're looking good. Look at you.
Thank you.
You look like exactly that one picture of you that I saw.
That.
No, the one picture. There's only one picture of you when you were in the news and stuff. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm finding it hard to introduce you. Like, how do I introduce you? Like, how do I...
Well,
Sindisiwe, the...
Well, we all know her claim to... I don't say claim to fame, but what we've come to know her for. Mm-hmm. Just that.
How do you want to be introduced?
I think the first introduction was just fine. Sindisiwe Manuel.
Yeah, but we've got chillers who are watching. We're like, who's this?
Yeah, what would you like to tell them?
Okay, let me read what the prep says. So this is not me. This is the prep.
Oh, okay. Just speak, man. Just speak. You know who she is.
Wait.
Just say it.
Say it.
In 2016, she was sentenced to 12 years in jail for killing her boyfriend, squatter camp member Nkululeko Flaba Habedi. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
You don't mind that?
No, I don't.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
How you feeling, man? How you good?
I'm good. Hey.
Closer to the mic. I was trying to tell you to come closer to the mic.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah. It's been a crazy few years for you, no?
Crazy is an understatement. Yeah, it's been a lot.
Yeah. And where you at right now? Like mentally, what's going on with you? You know?
You know, I think as long as you, the minute you come out of that place, you're in a good space mentally because that's the worst place to be.
Yeah.
You know, I'm getting used to being outside, you know?
Mm.
You can imagine it's been a long time, like being locked up for 6 years. Jeez. You know, it's not fun, you know? So, yeah, I'm getting used to being around people that I don't know, hanging out, doing things.
Yeah. How long? And by the way, if your parole officer is watching this, this is Stony.
Yeah.
This is cool drink. It's not alcohol.
It's Quetta. Stony.
We are drinking alcohol, not her.
Yes, she's on parole. So how long have you been out on parole?
Since May the 24th.
Jesus, that was like yesterday.
Yeah.
Please explain the parole thing. Like, what does it mean when you're out on parole? Like, what can you do? What can't you do? I've never understood that.
Mm. What you can't do is, it's basically like you, it's not like your sentence is finished. So what happens is when you get sentenced, right?
Yeah.
The Constitution gives you parole based on your behavior and all of that. So you serve half of your sentence inside and then the rest of it outside. So it's not like you are no longer like in prison. Like you're in prison, but you're outside. It's like a suspended
sentence.
You've
got freedom of movement.
Yeah, but then you're not allowed to drink. You're not allowed to go out at night. Wow. You're not allowed to go to like places that sell alcohol or whatever. So it's still like you're under their care still.
So at a particular time, you need to be home. You've got a curfew.
Of course, yeah.
What time?
It differs. On Sundays, because they know that we go to church and stuff, so on Sundays it's from the morning till 2 p.m. And then because I work, so Monday to Friday it's from, I can be out until like 6 or whatever, but like after the time off work, then I need to be home.
But how do they know this? How do they keep count? Like, is there someone always following you?
They don't follow you, but they come to your house anytime they want.
Yeah, and the ankle bracelet.
Ankle monitor.
You don't have one.
South Africa can't afford ankle bracelets.
Oh,
on,
we don't have. Oh.
No. Oh. Remember the one Yaga Oscar? It was showing that he's in Northern Cape or wherever.
Well, that's different. His leg could be somewhere. With him, that's different. In LA, could be Las Vegas, the lost leg. That's different.
So you say they come to you like weekly?
Whenever they can just come whenever.
Randomly.
Yeah, like isn't it? I get assigned a parole officer.
Mm.
So there's two of them. So they can just come like. then I have to sign that I'm home. They have to come and check if I'm home. Mm. So they just come and they just will tell me, like, open the gate, we're here.
Mm. After how
they're
many
not going to tell me they're coming. They're just going to be like, open the gate, we're here.
Yeah.
So then I just have to open the gate and then I have to sign something to say that they did find me.
Mm. If I'm actually a one, they send you back. Or it's like one strike, two strike kind of things.
Yeah, like you get like a three. Then if they don't find you like three times, then you have to, yeah.
And then do you have your passport? Can you travel?
I don't think I can travel because I'm on parole.
Mm. Yeah, so you don't have your passport?
I do.
But you can't travel.
You can't use it.
No.
Because I know, you, like, when the thing happened, you were, I think, back for holiday. You were studying in Ireland, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, I was here for the December holidays, and it ended up dragging till March. Mm. But I was supposed to be back to Ireland, yeah.
How many strikes are you on now before they send you back of infringements?
I don't have any infringements. Wow, you can see. Nice. Well behaved.
So describe your week for me, like what it looks like right now, what you do.
Well, I'm still studying. Okay. So I do my assignments. I work from home mostly. So on a regular day, I'll do some work and do some assignments from home.
So you're at home all day?
Yeah, but I can, like, go if I've got a meeting, because I'm a legal intern. So if I've got a meeting with a client, then I have to go and...
You're a legal intern?
Oh, a legal... Yes.
I study law.
You have a record. What does that mean for your legal practice?
Yeah.
I don't know, but the people from UNISA came to the... to the correctional center, because there's a section that's for the UNISA students there. So the UNISA people, they'll come and they will advise us. So they said the criminal record doesn't really affect you.
Why didn't you represent yourself?
I wasn't studying law by then.
So 6 years took you, like, you know what, I'm gonna study for myself.
No, the trial, it showed me. I was like, I can do this.
Yeah.
Wow. So I'm graduating this year, hopefully.
So in prison, you started your law degree?
Yeah, in 2017.
And that was influenced by you being in court, your case, that you must study law?
Yeah, I realized that I'm actually good at law, like, during my case, because, you know, my legal team, they were very nice. They would let me also attend the meetings, the briefings, yeah. And then I would add some ideas there, and they were telling me that, no, I'm really good.
How was it being in court and stuff, man?
Horrible.
Nah.
Remember that.
Oh, you were covered up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Why was she covered up?
Well, I don't know why. She's here.
Yeah, why were
she's
you covered
here.
Up?
There was like 1 million cameras.
Yeah.
Like, you know, some other people would even hide under the thing, the table. And people don't understand psychologically that messes somebody up, you know. I was going through a lot of emotions, you know, and people are capitalizing on that. Obviously, that's what the media does. But it was the worst moment of my life, and I just didn't want that to be, you know, publicized. And I was crying all the time. I was just not in a good space where I wanted people to be taking pictures of me.
So who was hiding under the tables?
The photographers, like, because they try to get it from under, isn't it? Because here I'm looking down and I'm not wearing, so they want to get the picture of my face.
Wow, how did they get the camera there?
I don't know. I'm just like looking and I'm like, okay, there's a person
how
there.
How does the court even allow that?
Well, South Africa.
Hey, bro, shit. Like in the fucking courtroom.
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah, they steal pictures. There was one time, like, jeez. I didn't see that people were taking pictures, and, like, my duke, like it moved just for, like, a second. Like, I was talking to my lawyer, Amanda, and it just opened like this. And I saw that picture on, like, the front page of some newspaper, and it was this big, and I was like, when was this taken?
Was Flubber's family there in court?
Yeah, they were.
And how was their reception?
We didn't speak because, remember, they are witnesses, so I can't talk to the witnesses.
No eye contact, nothing.
Well, I don't think I would even have noticed anybody at that time, hey?
Mm.
Yeah.
And you was your family there?
Yeah.
What did your family say about this whole ordeal?
Yeah, it was a traumatizing experience for them. It was traumatic for them.
Mm.
It, yeah, but they were very supportive.
Yeah.
My family knows me, and they know the kind of person I am. So they were supportive because they know what happened, and they know me, that I'm not a kind of person that can do something like that on purpose. you know, or hurt people like intentionally or whatever. So they were very supportive, but it was traumatic for them. It was very hard for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And who are you talking to the most when you're in prison? Who was calling you the most?
Tembela. Kim, I calling me the most. Nobody can call me. There's no phones in prison. Are you saying we're smuggling phones now?
Oh, no, like...
she's on parole, remember, bro.
Oh, but
she probably had a cell phone, but she won't say. She won't tell us. She probably had a cell phone, but she can't reveal that.
Oh, but don't you have a time to where you can call in prison?
Yeah, but you, it's an outbound call, so she... Oh, who are you calling with your... How many minutes do you get on the phone, and who are you calling?
You get, like, what, 15 minutes? I call...
Every day?
No, on the weekend, from Friday to Sunday.
That's it?
Yeah.
During the week, no calls?
Mm-mm.
Okay, who are you calling?
I was calling Kim, my friend, a lot. I was calling my brother. I was calling Tina, my whole family, you know, from Posse, everybody, my family.
Before we get to what happened that night, right, we always, like, talk to a lot of male... figures who've been in prison, but we've never spoken to a female who's been in prison. What's that experience like?
It's not a pleasant experience, but it's not as bad as the male side. You know, I've heard stories. I obviously haven't been, but like I've heard the stories that happen on that side, you know?
How was your first day?
Yo, the first day was terrible. Mm. Remember I had two first days because I went for the first time when I was going to apply for bail. So when you apply for bail, then you have to go in for 7 days.
Sure.
And while the bail application is being made, so I went...
Which prison was this?
Johannesburg Female Correctional Center, Sun City.
Sun City. Sun City. Yeah, the female wing.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, so you were there first day, yeah?
Yeah. Then when I went there, it was all over the news. So you know you're here and you know that this person has got fans and it's a prison. You know, you've seen movies and I'm thinking, yo, maybe somebody might try to hurt me or something.
Yeah, some of his fans.
So I was just like hoping that they don't call my name. Like, because on the radio when I got in, so when you get in the door, it's like, it's already freaky. When you get in, there's like this huge steel door and there's these big keys and they are opening there and then you have to go and you get searched and then you leave your belongings at the front desk and then you go in and when you get in there they're going to search you again and then we all standing there. There's a lot of us, like all the new admissions there, they're going to be there, maybe like can even be like 200 people or 50 people or whatever.
Jeez.
Like, yeah, it's mostly shoplifters. But yeah.
And the males are the ones or the females are the ones who are doing all this?
No, there's only females.
Only females.
Yeah, males don't work there. Okay. You can imagine.
Yeah, hey. It's not Carla.
Hey, it's not
Carla. What's your job?
It's your job.
Yeah, so then we are like standing there and they're calling everybody one by one and everybody's just waiting to see me. You know, because you couldn't recognize me. I was crying so much.
Wow.
So, and then they say, Sindisiwe Manqele, and everybody is just like, and I was...
What are they saying? Are they saying boo or...
No, they didn't say anything. It's you know...
They were expecting you.
Yeah, but like, you know what? The community inside, it's a sisterhood, you know? Like, the ladies are very supportive of one another. You know, it's scary years going in, but like, you find people that, you know, they're understanding. Even, especially the warders, you know, they'll comfort you because I was crying a lot and they used to always make fun of me, like when I was like, as the time went on, because I'm very talkative, so as the time went on and they were like, we are kumbulu safiga, we nutbo kala kanjani, you know, but like they will comfort you, they will, yeah, it's not as bad as the main, but like, I mean, loss of freedom is a traumatic experience of its own, you know. There was times that I was just like thinking, I miss cooking my own food. You know, I haven't cooked anything in 6 years.
What were you eating?
They cook the meals there. So they change, like, there's different proteins so and starch. So there's ipapa, there's samp, there is, what else? Mili rice.
Yeah. Oh, mili rice. Yeah.
Yeah, so maybe they'll serve today, maybe on a Monday they'll serve pap and...
And what time do they serve these food?
In the morning.
At 9?
No, like just immediately after parade. Parade is when they open the doors and we all have to go outside and they count us.
Okay.
So that's parade. And then immediately after parade, the breakfast comes in and it's bread and maybe oats or white porridge.
Bread and oats?
Damn.
No, yeah, like if you want oats, you can have oats.
Or alternatives. Yeah. Okay.
So maybe today they'll have oats, the next day they're going to have brown porridge, the next day they're going to have white porridge.
Describe a day in your life in prison. Like, what did you do? Like, you got up and, okay, they did the parade, and then what else?
So you have to wake up early, obviously, because by the time they open, by the time it's 7 o'clock and it's parade time, your cell has... I was staying in a single cell because I was studying. So all the students, they stay in a single cell.
Oh.
So I have to wake up early. Maybe I wake up at 6, fix my bed, you know, clean my cell properly. And then after that, I have to wear... when you parade, you have to be in full uniform. So you have to, you know, fix your hair and be fine. Like, just be presentable. And then you have to... When they open, when you hear the door opening... Then you stand outside, then they count everybody. And then after that, there's gym there. I used to go, there's a lady that used to train us. So then I'll go to gym if I'm not lazy. Sometimes I won't go for a year because, you know. And then I'll go and work out maybe for like 30 minutes. After that, I'll go to the shower. I take a shower. And then after that, there's an internet hub, so it's...
Hey, man, this doesn't sound really bad, dog.
There's Wi-Fi.
There's no Wi-Fi, guys.
There's an internet hub.
Internet hub, Wi-Fi, soft life,
yeah.
Hey, there's no internet hub. We were in the Eastern Cape last week. All the internet hubs there, and we're in freedom. Jeez. So what's the internet hub?
It's for the student. It's the UNISA hub that UNISA put in
computer
all the,
lab.
Yeah, it's a computer lab that UNISA put. So it's got like computers, like laptops for them.
Shout out to UNISA.
Mm. There you go. Yeah. So then I would go to the internet hub and I would work.
And you can't Google porn, obviously, ne?
But why would I Google porn? Pam Gwabantu. I mean, bang begil.
Ne.
Yeah.
But then, okay, normally porn is for like when people miss, you know, companionship. So in a prison, when you miss,
yeah,
how do you get by?
Because niggas will yank one out.
Yeah, niggas will yank one out, like, you know.
Yeah. And ladies will rub one out.
Hey!
Round one out. I love that.
Yeah. Okay. Then, guys, focus.
They call it Vix Hub.
So, yeah.
Vix Hub.
Hey,
wow.
So, come on, when you're rubbing one out, right, who are you thinking of now? You're thinking of past experiences or what? Because now you're surrounded by females 24/7.
I'm thinking of the end result most, what I want to happen.
Not...
I don't know. I think of different things.
Because when niggas yank one out, there's images in your head. And it's obviously...
Really now? Are we doing this Pornhub stuff?
No, it's just like, it's reality. It's survival. It's reality, you know.
Mm. No, we can survive without sex. I mean, there's ladies that have been there like 20 years.
Oh!
Yeah. Some friends of mine, they've been there like 20 years, 19 years.
How many times would you say you rubbed one out in your 6 years?
Jeez!
No, just give us a number.
What number? Like,
how
I don't
How many times do you think you rubbed it out? Take a guess, sir.
The number. Definitely not 4 or 5.
No. Definitely not. I'll agree with that. Jeez. So corny. So corny.
Yeah.
I don't know. Once a week, bro. She's human. I mean, women also need sex as much as men do.
So, and then lunch comes, ne?
Yeah, it comes at 12.
Yeah, 12. Okay.
Then. What?
No, it's fine.
Are you triggered by the word come?
Oh,
no, because we are just talking about loving one. And then he's laughing.
This one. I'm not playing.
what is wrong? Yes. Jeez, you are so corny.
Okay, so then lunch
comes at 12.
Yes, utisa lo ukhinika lapha, because I know in the male prisons there's this thing of bangishana so that to keep you money for more food.
Yeah, I guess utisa.
Oh, okay, yeah. Cool.
But then, I mean, ladies don't eat that much, so.
Fair enough.
So you have lunch, and then after lunch, when's that?
And then there's programs sometimes, like there's skills programs, there's anger management, and I was ordered to attend the anger management. Mm. There's anger management, there's new beginnings and whatever. So you attend the courses if you want. You can have a job if you want. There's different jobs in there. Like if you want to work, most of the people, but like students, we can't really do that because we need to study.
What jobs on offer there?
There's different jobs, like some people work at the salon.
Okay.
There's a salon
there.
Oh, salon. Wow.
Yeah. There's a salon there. Some people work in the offices to just help clean around. Some people, you know, it's different jobs. They fix the lights and fix the welding and whatever.
It's now 6 p.m. What are you doing?
I'm in my room. I'm in my cell.
Yeah.
It's quiet, you know.
And you get dinner 8 p.m. I'm guessing.
No. Mm. Well, we get dinner at our dinner is probably the lunch because that's the big meal that we have.
That's the last meal you get.
No, then you get 5 slices of bread, like around 2.
With what?
Before they lock.
Five slices. Nah, with what?
It could be maybe peanut butter or rama.
And that's it for the night.
Or jam.
That's it.
Tea. No tea.
There's sachets. Not a sweet eight. So
okay.
That you get that.
And that's it. You don't get anything else.
But there's also squinchy in manja.
Oh, those sachets with juice.
Not a sweet eight. Oh yeah, drink a pop.
Oh, powder.
Yeah.
Oh, sachets of powder. Oh, drink a pop.
Yeah. So that they serve it that. But there's also a shop actually inside if your family is able to put in money for you to buy some more stuff
Have,
and then you can buy from the shop.
Did any girls approach you and want you to be their wife and stuff?
Jeez.
To rub one out
it's
with
it's a genuine question. It's a genuine question.
Let's rub it out.
Are they bullies though?
Are they bullies?
Equark.
Yeah.
No, not really.
Man, the female prison sounds like...
There's no like butch females like Ewena. That's a 5 slice. I don't know, something.
No.
Jeez. Oh, wow.
But see, I'm like, I mean, so bamba na siyalingana. So who's going to come and tell me to do that? Like, I'm not saying, we'll see, like, nyashayana, but I mean, we are all chicks here. And
I'm sure they were scared of you, ne?
No.
They weren't scared of you.
You don't look scary, though.
No, I hope they weren't. I don't know.
I mean, with what you did, I mean, I'd be scared, bro.
But I mean, I'm not the only person that did that. Remember, there's a D-Max there.
Mm.
Yeah.
What's a D-Max?
D-Max.
Maximum.
You? Who was there? Like the crimes they committed, the people that were there?
Yeah, it's like more than 12-year sentence. Like if the sentence exceeds 12 years, then you go to D-Max. So I started at D-Max. Then you get reclassified after a certain time, after you've served quarter, and you haven't been a risk or, you know, done anything that makes people think that you are dangerous. Yeah. Then?
Yeah. Then?
I thought you wanted to say something.
Yeah, no, but you were about to answer, because I've heard of C-Max, but I thought you were going there.
Oh, okay, no. So then after they reclassify you, then you are a low risk, and then you become medium. You go to medium.
How long were you at D-Max for?
3 years.
3 years.
Oh, 3 years or less, I can't remember, but they changed then, and then, yeah, I think it's 3 years.
Yeah. You never got into any fight? Nothing? Sounds soft there, bro.
It does, but the crowd at D-Max sounds violent, as opposed to the other parts.
I mean, it's not violent per se, but like, I mean, it's like 42 people in a cell, right? And 42 women, to be specific. And like, imagine a room with 42 women. We are, it's on our monthlies there. We are moody.
What happens?
We're gonna fight.
What happens is when is that time of the month?
What do you mean? What happens
in the prison?
What happens?
But do they supply you with pads?
Mm. Oh, yeah, they do. But, like, your family does bring, like, toiletries for you on weekends, on the visits, so your family can bring you stuff.
What if you don't have family? Your family can't afford pads.
What happens?
No, but they do supply. But the things that they don't apply, like I say, they don't supply. Like I said, it's like a community. Mm. So if you don't have, and I have, like, I'll give you.
Oh,
you
know? Okay.
We all sharing stuff. Like, you know, if maybe, like, I'm a happy side too. Mm. And I see you, it's okay. Whoever needs to do their hair, I'll just say you can have one. I'll take one.
Who was your best friend? Did you make friends there?
Oh, I've got so many best friends.
Yeah. What did they do? Tell me their sentences.
No.
Why?
Aren't you not telling us names and ID numbers of them? Just what?
Snitches get stitches.
Wait, you're not snitching if you say one of my friends robbed the bank.
Gangster guy.
And you should be the last person to say stitches.
No, man, it's different things.
When she says snitches get stitches, it's different, bro.
It's different, bro.
Really?
Oh, it's different.
So I can't say it.
It's too soon.
Were there gangs inside, though?
Pardon?
Oh, yeah. Are there gangs inside?
Not in Johannesburg, but in the other. In the other prisons.
Cape Town,
the female parts.
Yeah, in the other ones, but not in Johannesburg. But I think also in Johannesburg, like, there's just a lot of order. That's why there's not too much fights and everything. Like, I think maybe the waters are just able to keep the order, you know.
All right, let's talk about Flubber, man.
Yeah.
How did you guys meet?
We met at a party in 2006 in Four Ways.
Mm. What party was this? Were you invited? You met him there?
Yeah, I was invited by a friend.
Okay.
And she just said that there was a party in Four Ways that I should come through.
Mm.
So then they came to pick me up and we went there. And just when I got there, that's when I started speaking to him and we spoke the whole night.
Wow, so he came to you, ne?
Yeah, he came to me.
And how was that night like for you guys?
It was nice, eh? Mm. It was nice, yeah. Mm. We had a lot of fun, and then he dropped me off at home and told me that he'd come and see me later, and he did the next day.
And so at this time, you guys are not official. Like, it's just friends chatting.
Courting you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, but a second, he already, like, let his intentions be known.
What?
Nkuli didn't beat about the bush. He would tell you, like...
Yeah, yeah. And how long did you guys date for?
We're on and off, hey? We started dating in 2006, broke up in 2007, I think.
Why did you break up?
I found out that, I didn't know that he was married, so I found out that he was married.
Oh, snap!
How can you not know it's Flubber, bro? Like, you should be out there, man.
Yeah, maybe you wanted, like, a polygamous relationship and marry Habib.
I can't with you. Really? Really?
Genuinely, it's a possibility. I mean, if you're a polygamist.
Yeah.
How do you find out I was married?
Drink your
cold drink.
Then I'll drink it. Cheers, guys.
Hey, Penduka.
Nice.
Yeah.
I found out on the paper. I read it on the paper. I can't remember what paper it is. So they just said Flubber and his wife.
Mm.
So I asked him in Wapiga, I was like, shut down, but I just read it. And he was like, I'm shut down, Abida. But the person that told you that I'm married, tell them to show you pictures and yada, 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 yada.
And you thought you were the main chick at that time?
Well, of course.
Nah.
Yeah.
And you're giving it up good because you're thinking, like, this is my man, right? So.
Of course.
Yeah, you gotta.
Spump some dog. No bulletproof. First, spump some dog. Give it good.
Yeah. And then you guys got back together.
Yeah, we got back together, but while I was in Ireland, yeah.
So who initiated that getting back together?
I think it was I.
It was you?
I think so.
Ne? So you hit him up, be like, hey, dog, what's I'm missing. Good? Yeah, what's good?
What's happening? No. I just told him, I think I checked in And he came to where I was, and, you know.
And then it was love back kind of situation.
Yeah.
Did you ever meet the wife, though?
I met her after the fact.
After the incident?
Yeah.
Mm. Oh.
So when you get back with him, did you know you were still married, or?
I did.
Okay. But you didn't care, I guess.
I didn't.
Yeah, you're like.
So, I'm curious, right? So, had you now accepted that your role is to be a side chick, or did you hope that one day he'd leave the wife to be with you?
I don't know, man. I was just young, and I think I missed him.
Young? How old?
I mean, I'm not. Ankumbulu Tsbenangaki, but I was young.
21, 22.
Around that age.
Okay, I guess.
Oh, you're a kid.
Yeah. And you miss him, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so I was like, ugh.
So, how long do you guys kick it for then after that?
No, we kicked it until
the incident.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. What happened that night?
I'm going to talk about that in the documentary I told you about.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So, you can't talk about it now?
No. But you know what? It was we were drunk, right?
Okay.
And tempers were high. Mm. There was a little we had gone out, we got intoxicated.
Sure.
And there was a bit of jealousy here and there, and
from whose side?
From his side.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. And we just got, you know, like these drunk fights.
Yes, I will have them, bro.
Yeah, and then it just escalated, and because things were said, and you know, we were saying horrible things to each other, and it ended up just, he took the wrong turn, and I...
So did you stab him, though?
Yeah, I stabbed him.
Damn.
Where?
The chest.
Ooh. Like once or more than once?
Once.
Oh, you did once.
Mm.
So this was a mistake?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
You know, as you're saying that, I just realized it could have been anyone. How many times have you fought with your girl, bro?
Honestly? Honestly? Do you want an honest response?
Yes.
All of my girls... We've never fought like physically, like Sash Hayan, I know, right? And that's fine. Some relationships are like that. Mm. I've never been honestly.
Mm.
But I know that it does happen sometimes where people
tempers
do, you know, get very high, emotions fly, and it comes out physically. That does happen.
You ghost lady?
Never like physical. But I do want to ask you, Cindy, is that, okay, there wasn't a reenactment on a show called Ufelani, right?
Yeah.
Do you know of that reenactment that happened? Did everything occur like that?
Yeah, but remember when it happened, I was in Sun City, I heard about it, I couldn't watch it, so I don't
know.
So
you've never watched it?
No, I have never watched it.
They did a whole reenactment without even talking to you.
Yeah, no.
No, but normally they speak to the victim's family, so I guess it was the...
It's one-sided.
Yeah,
bro.
Yeah, just a whole of what the events. Maybe taking it from the trial, what was said on the trial, and then...
So obviously you said like it was a reflex, you know, reaction, because now things are physical, you know? At what point, obviously, you think you're just going to scratch him or wound him, but at what point do you realize, yo, this is serious. This guy's really hurt.
He told me. I didn't even know that he was hurt. He told me.
Oh, when everything had calmed down,
I was actually pushing him. You know, like, I had the knife in my hand, so I was pushing him away from me.
Oh, it wasn't a plunge. Like.
No, I was pushing him away, so when I pushed him, it...
Ooh. So how casual was the fight, though? If you're saying for it to have ended up like stabbing. Not just casual, but I'm just like, you know, light, you know, that altercation.
No, it wasn't light.
It wasn't light.
No, it wasn't.
It was...
The fact that you had a knife in your hand,
why did you have the knife?
He came in with it. Because he was trying to open the door, not because he wanted to stab him or anything.
So he came in with the knife?
Yeah.
Tried to open the door?
Yeah.
He gets in there, and then you guys are having a... physical.
I talk about it. You'll hear all about it.
Yeah, no, I'm just trying to, you know, put the, with the little that you're saying.
Yeah.
And I respect that because it's in the documentary, right?
Yeah.
Wow, that's wild.
Yeah.
So how did you get possession of the knife?
During the
scuffle.
Yeah, thank you for the
So
word.
After he opened the door, he didn't then, okay, I've used this knife to open the door. The job of the knife is done. I'm thinking maybe someone would place it. So he remained with it in the hand up until you dispossessed him of it.
Yeah.
Why was he using a knife to open the door?
Because I had locked the door.
Oh, you didn't want him inside.
Yeah, I didn't want him inside.
Oh. Why is that?
Because we were fighting from the club. We're, what is it? Having an altercation.
A verbal altercation.
Yeah, okay. So.
Was it verbal from the club or physical from the club?
No, it was verbal.
Oh, it was verbal. So
yeah, and yeah, so I just thought I'll lock him out and he'll sleep on the couch. I'll see him tomorrow. Yeah.
Was he a generally jealous guy? Or he was going through stuff?
Yeah, he was going through stuff, but yeah, guys get jealous.
Because Squatter Camp wasn't really popping at that time. I mean, you know, someone would have said maybe he's like a you know, guys, they'll call you a has-been because maybe Saul is no longer, like, you know. And then maybe that as well. What would you say, like, caused that, you know, for him to be so jealous?
Yeah, he was going through some stuff. But, I mean, guys generally get jealous and women get jealous too. But I think also because there was also alcohol there. You know, like, I think the jealousy is, like, it's not normal per se, but, like, jealousy is there. But it would have been handled differently if we were sober. We were both intoxicated.
Yeah.
So, Mawe, and it was pussy vodka. So once your tempers are high and you guys are, you know, having a scuffle or whatever, and you're drunk. So you're going to just think a good scene, you know.
No, Mayin.
Yeah.
So you stab him. He says, Ngilimele, I'm hurt.
Yeah.
And then what happens? Are you guys still continue to talk?
No, he fell to the ground, asked his brothers to come and help me. Yeah, and they came.
The brothers were outside because they came with him?
No, they lived there. Right,
oh, they lived there.
We were rooming in a park.
Oh.
It's in Lin. Bona, they were outside.
Yeah. So after, and then he fell?
Yeah, and then he fell. Then I asked his brothers to come and help me.
And there was blood all over?
Yeah.
Damn.
So Joe Nila Grasok no commotion naban the chartin.
Yeah.
But they're not coming.
No, they were coming, but it was locked. Like they couldn't come in. It was locked.
Didn't he ruin the locking system by opening?
You will hear it in the documentary.
Wow, man, it's so complex.
Yeah.
Yo.
So at what point are you like, what's going on here?
Like when you told me I stabbed him, that's the point you're like, what? Like,
so you had no intention?
No, I wouldn't want to kill him.
Yeah.
I mean, I was with this guy since I was 18 or 17.
Was he your first guy you slept with?
Jeez.
No, she's been an islander. You know those Irish, those Irish guys.
We're in Ireland, in Cork.
You know, there's what a city is called wrong Cork? With you?
No, there's a city in it's Irish, right?
I know Cork City, but like, oh, yeah,
I know my geography.
Well, apparently you do, the Cork ones.
You know, I'm feeling very weird right now. Like, I don't know what's going on right now.
Weird how?
Like, I understand it was a mistake, but at the end of the day, you killed someone. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how I feel about that. You know what I mean? Mm. I'm in a very weird place.
I feel, you know how I feel, right? And I mean, respect to the family and all. A murder is a murder, but there's things that if, let's say, you, Mac, are arrested for, what do they call it? Manslaughter, which I assume, but you were sober, right? When I see you, I'm not going to view you as a murderer. You know, because it was a genuine mistake. But the law will take cause and they'll arrest you and you'll be sentenced. You know? Her words, she's saying, but why did you dispossess him of the knife? Were you fearing he may use it on you? I know it's on the documentary, but I'm pretty sure a lot of other details are there.
Yeah, but like, just I'm not allowed to say a whole lot of things.
Do you have any remorse?
Wow, though? Man.
Of course. Of course I do.
How many times does that day replay in your mind?
And do you feel forgiven?
By whom?
The family.
The fans.
Even him, in spirit.
Yeah, by him, yeah, definitely.
Why do you say that? Because you sound very certain about that.
Yeah, because we spoke before he passed, after I had stabbed him.
Oh, what did he say?
It's not the document.
Okay.
Okay, half of what he said. No, but I want you to give us half, then people will definitely watch the documentary too.
No, I'm not giving you half.
But it made you feel better.
You had a heart to heart.
I knew that he knew that I didn't mean to do that.
Oh.
So did he know he was going to go? Like,
yeah.
I think he did.
And you had
the... And I didn't.
You had the last few moments with him.
Yeah.
So when the brothers came, he was...
No, he was still alive.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was alive. He was alive for like an hour, but the ambulance took long.
Of course, South Africa, right?
This is wild.
It took like 2 hours for them to come, so...
Had they come earlier, they would have saved him.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
When you replay that evening, what do you wish you would have done different?
I wish I didn't go to that party. Because I wasn't even supposed to go. He asked me to go. I wanted to go chill with his mother. So he was like, since I'm always not around, like I don't live in South Africa, so like I can at least attend one event with him.
So you were close with the mom?
Yeah, I love her. She's amazing.
Do you not wish that you hadn't stabbed him?
Pardon?
Do you not wish you hadn't stabbed him?
If I didn't go to that party, then this wouldn't have happened.
Are you still close to the mom? Sorry? Are you still close to the mom?
We don't really have communication.
What would you say to his mom if she was watching this right now?
I've said what I wanted to say to her. She knows. I did speak to her before.
Yeah, man, I can see you holding back the tears, no?
Yeah, man, it must be tough, eh? I mean...
Sure. Yeah.
So if you were close to the mom... And he was married.
No, he was no longer married by the time.
Okay.
Yeah, we were supposed to get married, actually. Yeah.
Bro, this is crazy. This can happen to anyone, bro. Do you know how many couples fight, bro?
I don't know, man. But they do fight.
Well, the stats prove it.
What? True, yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You said you were supposed to get married. It proposed. Oh, lobolad.
He went to lobola in June. So it happened in March.
So he had approached your family?
He was going to approach my family. Oh. He was supposed to lobola in June. Yeah. Yeah, but we had spoken about it. Yeah.
I know normally it's always tricky, like when you're going to marry a girl, right? Especially when you're black. Like, do you propose first or speak about it? Did he like do the whole get down on his knees proposal, or was it just a conversation?
But it doesn't work like that. I'm a Zulu girl. So even if you can propose, like,
it means nothing.
I'm not white, so
those engagements. Until you show up at home.
I'm not white. Engagements and all the rings, yeah, they're cute. We wear them because they're cute and it's diamonds, and diamonds are a girl's best friend. But ngesiZulu kumele ukuthi uhambe uyokhuluma nabazali
bami.
So you didn't do the proposal.
Yeah, because then if you just put a ring, it's just a fashion statement. My family wouldn't even regard it as anything. They'll just say, oh, nice ring.
Yeah, it's just...
And my family's very Zulu, so...
Yeah, Manqele is very Zulu.
Yeah, somebody can't pronounce it, yeah.
Hey, man.
That's fine.
This is sad, man.
Hey, like, man.
This is... Did you speak to any of the squatter camp guys, Slicker?
No.
You've never spoken to them?
No, I've never.
Ever since?
Damn.
No, I've never. But I was not close to them, so...
They never reached out like, hey, man, you killed our boy, how could you...
No.
Sure. How do you feel now when you hear a Flubber track, like in the club or in the radio?
I play Flubber's music.
For real?
Yeah. What,
favorite verse or line? Because Flubber had crazy punchlines. Like, he's one, like, insane punchlines. Favorite?
Oh, my gosh. No.
Hey, man, I need a smoke, man. This is a lot, man.
My favorite.
Yeah, because he had, like, he was nuts.
There's a song that... I can't see now because now there's
and you're emotional, we get it.
Yeah, but there's a song that he made, and when he made it like for me, so I know, like, I like
it. What song is that?
It's one where he's with he was saying that the message, he was making it for me. He was with this other beautiful lady from somewhere in Africa. Yeah. I can't remember it. He's wearing a suit in the video and stuff. What is it called?
Can you get that fat checker? He's wearing a suit.
Yeah.
He's an African lady.
Just Google Flubber love song. Flubber, yeah, yeah. Squatter Camp love song.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it wasn't Squatter Camp.
I'll never let you go or something like this.
Never let you go sounds familiar, the title, yeah. Ne? It's not Never Let You Go.
Is it Never Let You Go?
Yeah, yeah.
That's the one.
Yeah.
Wow, that's for you.
That's
wow,
for you.
Man.
Well, yeah.
Jeez, man.
So I'll look for it as well.
So, after this,
is that the name of the song? Am I right?
Is that the name of the song? Oh, she's still checking.
Okay.
So after this, Gator McKenzie reached out to you,
No, he didn't. Well, he said some things on the internet, but I've never spoken to him before.
Yes, I think I've got a tweet here. Yeah, here he is. He posted, "I know that stigma will become your new shadow." Cindy says, "Cindy, Sol."
Cindy
as well. Yeah.
What am I reading? Cindy Siwe Manqele.
Yes. God forgave you. The family of Flubber graciously forgave you. You served your time. It's going to be harder to forgive yourself at times. Kenny Kunene and I will help you rebuild your life whenever you are ready. You saw that?
Yeah.
How did you feel when you heard that?
When I heard the Yeah, just it was very nice to hear that, you know, there's people that understand, and you know, it was encouraging. It was nice. But I've never spoken to him or Kenny or anybody. Yeah. But it was nice. It was a nice gesture from them.
You should be grateful that you have a vagina, because if you're a man, you were cancelled. They wouldn't want to know your story, nothing.
Really?
Yeah, in this society that we're in.
Yeah.
Am I lying, so?
Depends.
What do you mean?
Well, some men have some men have come out of prison, and you know, but then it weren't high profile cases. So you're right, though, we easily cancel men. We're harsher on men as a society.
You think so? I think that.
Oh, way harsher on men than women. Women get away with well, it's no man.
I don't think so.
No,
I think society.
Think so.
No.
I think society.
Next year,
we are poor. That's your poor. We are poor, boy. No, but on the real. On the real, men, it's rare to get a second chance. It's rare.
Yeah, it's a woman's world.
Yeah, it's a woman's world.
How's the reception from the public been since you came out?
I don't really know, hey. Mm. I don't really keep up with it.
Do people recognize you?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Mm.
They don't.
They will after this.
Oh, yeah, after this they will. Mm. They will.
I don't think so.
You'll see.
Yeah, so this is a small podcast, Nyan.
Gosh, she's been eating for 6 years. She doesn't.
Do they watch podcasts and chill at the internet hub there? No, genuine question. Genuine question.
Speak of you, Nyan.
How difficult was it readjusting back into the real world? Like 6 years.
Could
in an overall.
There's TikTok.
Ooh, I'm sure. Wait. I'm sure for Mangala. She was scrolling then in prison. But it was out to Mangala. Now go on to TikTok. We all know.
I don't do that.
Nah, that's phones. We know there's phones. But other stuff, like how was it? Like readjusting, having
a
pizza.
You came out, what did you find? You like, that was surprised you?
Yes, reality shock.
What surprised me?
Yeah.
I don't know.
But you're talking about Uber.
There was meter taxis even before. So
your first day out, what did you do your first day out?
My family had like a barbecue for me.
Barbecue.
And you had all the water.
So cool. Mm. Yeah, they had a whole, all of them, they were there. They had, I had what?
That's when you had a divorce.
All of them. Why Shazayun?
No, because... You know, there's always the stigma that when a guy is in prison, the first thing when it comes out, what he wants is sex, right? To feel the inside of a woman. So I'm assuming that also had to be part of your plans. Maybe not the first thing, but somewhere there in the first 3 days or a week.
Yeah. But you do realize that men and women are not the same.
Yeah, we're wired differently.
Yeah, true. Wow.
Yeah.
Like, that's fine.
You weren't thinking about Voros, nothing.
I didn't have it for 6 years. It's not really a priority.
Mm. Oh, you didn't have it. You've had it since.
Oh, Omar.
Oh, is it in the documentary?
It's in the documentary.
Yeah.
There's like over 18 plus part of the documentary.
Yeah, it's there.
Let's talk about the documentary. Where can people check it out? What's going on, man?
No, I'm working with Eddie Chitate, Brainstorm Entertainment. We're still working on it, so I don't know when it's going to be out.
So no channel has picked it up yet, or any of these streaming platforms, no?
No, not yet.
Not yet. Yeah. Oh, you're going to go out and sell it?
Yeah.
Okay. I think it'll be easier for you to sell it after this episode. I'm sure they're going to call you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Please get a good deal. Like, you lost out on 6 years of your life.
Yeah.
Understandably so. It's the legal system, it's the law, but make as much money from it, you know? But beautifully, you're a lawyer, so you can read your own contracts. What do you major in?
I do commercial law, but I... my
Perfect.
Yeah, but my LLB, it's everything.
LLB.
It's... yeah.
Finally, not BBL. That's not my BBL. Finally, things that matter. Things that have real weight. You know? LLBs.
No, you need to be a rapper.
I was.
Gee.
I was.
Oh my God,
hey, Konja, you do that.
I needed to be. Listen. There's a party in four ways happening later on. You know.
No.
So is that how I our two down? Ways could lead to, you know, four ways, and who knows.
Jeez.
Yeah. Steakum, baby. Steakum.
What does that mean? Steakum. What does that mean?
Yazini,
we keep it lent.
Steakum. Wow.
Look at him with his signs there.
Wow.
He got to Tiara.
Oh, fuck and hell. You said that.
This went dark.
So you're saying... Hold on. Hey.
How could you say that?
So you're saying you didn't find it difficult readjusting?
No, like it was... Like I said, it's a different... It's different readjusting, but like I won't say anything shocked me per se. It's just the environment. I'm not used to that. I was locked up for 6 years. Like Kalaguso, as Pumeli, well, Siapumelang apparently for a 1 hour exercise and all of that, but like being outside and being around people. Remember, I stay in a single cell and I'm locked up most of the day. Like, how many hours? Like, say 18 hours a day, I'm locked up alone in the single cell. Mm. So now I have to adjust to being around my family. And I've got a big family. So now I have to adjust to being around people, you know. I have to understand that I can't have alone time, you know. I can't...
Rub one out.
I didn't want to rub one out anymore when I was out.
Ghost Lady, you got a question?
I'd just like to know, like, what do you stand for now in terms of whether it's owning it? What do you stand for? What do you want to be known, like, that this is what you stand for?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like...
someone was rubbing one out.
I don't know what I was doing. My beard, my little goatee was itchy, so I'm like... Nkoki, what in your eyes? Like, ay, money. Sorry, man. Yeah. Sorry about that. We have those moments.
Yeah.
I have a lot of moments, yeah. But what do I stand for? You know, I want to... There's a lot that I learned from being inside, you know. It's a female prison, and women there, most of the women that are in there, it's because it's there's a man that has to do something about it. So I thought to myself, I'll start an NPO for women. And I thought also with my LLB, another thing that I can do is advocate for women's rights, because like I was telling...
Shut up, man. Round of applause, man. Beautiful.
Like I was telling Saul, according to me and what I've seen in the justice system, I feel like the justice system isn't fair on women, you know? Like, South African justice system is little to non-existent anyway, because they don't even investigate, you know, mitigating factors, you know? When things happen, they don't check to see what happened, the background and whatever. There's a lot of, women are going through a lot in South Africa, you know, and they need a voice. They need somebody to speak.
I want to ask you something. Now that you got your LB in lawyer, if you're doing your case, how would you defend?
How would you have defended yourself? Yeah. Your angle.
Yeah.
I think, you know what? I think my lawyers did a good job defending me. But at the end of the day, like, you know.
What would you have said? What angle would you have taken?
I would probably take their angle.
They same defense.
Yeah, they did a good job, but at the end of the day, like...
What angle did it take? Sorry, man, I didn't watch the trial.
Well, we did plead that, okay, fine, I did, you know, I did kill him, but it was in self-defense because we had an altercation. Mm. And that's the truth. Like, I would have defended it the same way, but at the end of the day, probably the result would have probably been the same because a life was lost, you know. I don't think they did a bad job because I went to prison. Mm. Somebody's life was lost.
So you deserved the time?
I mean, yeah, somebody's life was lost.
Yeah, but I mean, I think if, let's say for example, right, it could, so what did your team fail to prove in order for you, because you can kill someone if your life, if you can prove that your life was in imminent danger.
Yeah, but I don't think, like, I think my team proved what they needed to prove. It wasn't really up to them. The judge that was presiding the case, he already had his mind made.
Tell us by,
I could, because, like, his reasoning for not accepting my plea for self-defense was that I stopped being a victim and became the attacker when I stabbed him.
Mm.
You know? Like, I don't understand. He's like, yes, you were the victim, but you stopped being the victim when you stabbed him. And
it wasn't intentional. It's not like you got up and you said, I'm going to stab you.
And did they... Look, I'm not a lawyer or anything, right? I'm just a layman. There were his fingerprints on the very same knife that you stabbed him with to prove that...
They don't even check those things in South Africa.
Were the witnesses to say that, Vele, this is Nkuli's knife?
I was in his house. Bengse Alex. Well,
it was just a kitchen knife, not like a goni.
He didn't own a goni, I hope. I don't know.
Hey, anyway, Penduka, you got a question, man?
Hey, man.
This story is very sad. I'm feeling very weird, man.
You're being
sane. Yeah, man. I'm feeling it's a very sad story, man.
It is, bro. It's so tragic.
Tragic, bro.
Especially, I mean, you guys were madly in love. You was about to pay ilobola.
Yeah, we were.
And what? I mean, I know we can't speak for victims, but it's also sad, you know, that you're very close to the mom.
And his daughter as well. And his brothers, everybody, the whole family.
Even
Abu Tepang. Yeah.
If a tech, if flabber a pang.
Yeah.
I'm hard-headed like my kid brother Tepang. That's quite a camp. That's flabber's lines.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have kids?
No.
Oh, thank goodness. Because, I mean, it would have been a kid without... a mom for 6 years. That's what I'm saying. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
Is that your last question?
Curiosity. Yeah, it is.
Mm. Hey, anyone else has a question here? Fat Checker, you got a question? Oh, yeah, you got a question? Hey, man.
The friends you had before, you still cool? They're still with you or?
They've been with me, yeah.
Oh, beautiful,
They've
man.
They've been with me.
So, so what's the future now? What's the future now for you? Like, what are we doing?
I'm taking it one step at a time, hey? Mm. Let's see what it holds. I'm studying, I'm working. Hopefully,
Xoshangan. Do you dream about Flava sometimes?
I used to a lot after the incident.
For real?
Yeah.
What would you dream about?
Different things. Like, we did a lot of things together. So, you know, when you think about somebody a lot, then psychologically, they appear in your dreams. Yeah.
Would he talk to you in the dreams?
Yeah.
Bro, I gotta say you're strong, bro. Like, if I ever had to kill my woman by mistake, you know what I mean? I don't think I'd be handling it the way you are. You know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah, but I think she seems so at peace because she didn't like what plot he said, to kill him,
he,
and
also what he said before.
Yes,
that was
because
like
she knows the truth. To be honest, there were two people in the room, and she knows the truth, and she's seemed like she's very at peace with it.
Yeah, I'm not getting Killy Khumalo vibes. Where you're like,
you know what I mean?
Get nappy.
I'm just saying.
He's so inappropriate. He's so inappropriate.
Anyway, what do you want to say in closing, man? What do you want to say in closing? This is from you. It's not a question. Whatever you want people to know.
No, I just want to thank you guys for inviting me to come and have a chat with you guys in one of the biggest podcasts. And yeah, people will, hopefully they will understand my story better when they watch, when they watch the documentary. And they will get a different perspective, because everybody has their own opinion
of
who I am, what I did, why I did it, and whatever. So hopefully... Mm-hmm. I understand that he's got fans and they will get the closure that they need and so on and so forth. Yeah.
How's been dating post prison?
Yeah, like when you go to a nigga's house, does he hide all the knives and stuff?
That's crazy.
But is that what you're asking also?
No. No.
Because wow.
No.
No.
Umakaeva is just—he's a mess. That's why I was like, messy. He's a mess. He's a mess.
Yeah, he is a mess.
Yeah. How's dating life though? Like internally and within the relationship for the guy. If when you tell him you that girl.
I don't know how people feel about me being that girl.
Let's call the guy you dated.
Yeah, 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 your man.
Let's call one of the guys.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
For what number? What is symbols?
So in the relationship, I'm cooling my island. Like a gubine.
Pillow talk.
I got 10 dinda benching our bangit.
Ah, come on.
Nah.
Come on. Okay. The guy you're currently dating, ne?
Does he know?
Did he know what you are, the girl, that, like, from the incident? When you met him? Okay, fair enough. Changes things, yeah.
Alright, cool, man. We out here. Podcast and chill, man. Boom.
To advertise, email podcast@thisismaggie.com. Release yourself from order and logic and enter a new place. It's not work. It's not home. Here, no maps have been drawn. No books have been written. Nothing is certain. Everything is possible. Welcome to podcast and chill with Maggie.
I'm assuming this doesn't end well.